Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Black power, black power. Not sure what's going on with the switchboard, but we finna play some Tupac. Black
power. It's gonna be some stuff you're gonna see that's gonna make it hard to smile in the future. But through whatever you see, through all the rain and the pain, you gotta keep your sense of humor. You gotta be able to smile through all this bullshit.
My childhood years were spent burying my peers in the cemetery. Here's
a message to the newborns waiting to breathe. If you believe and you can achieve, just look at me. Against all odds, though life is hard, we carry on. Living in the projects, broke with no lights on. To all the seeds that follow me, protect your essence. Born with less, but you still precious. Just smell for me now. Praises I run, and I can walk through the days that are done. I often wish that I could save everyone, but I'm a dreamer. Have you ever seen a nigga who was strong in the game? Overlooking his tomorrows, and it finally came. Look back on childhood for a reason, I'm still feeling the same. Turning circles in my ninth grade, dealing cocaine. Too many houses in my local life, vibe is strange. And a man without a focus life, it drives me insane. Stuck inside a ghetto fantasy, hoping it changed. But when I focus on reality, we broken and changed. Had a dream of living wealthy and making it big. Over football, chose to cook raw and taking it big. And after all, my mama thanking God for blessing the child. All my mama got to do now is collect it and smile. Straight shot, bullets be hot, they burning, inhaling stern smoke, visualize the flames, well I've been smothered by my own pain, strange witches, cowards conversate, so quick to ditch it, taking pictures for the feds in desperate hopes they get it, hit a song, give us plenty centuries, forgive my sins, since I ended many penitentiaries, the best revenge, fuck friends, we military minds, soldiers, busting shots blindly, trying to find Jehovah, to help me, somebody save me, lost the crazy. Drop a seed, hoping I ain't cursed my baby. Maybe now, niggas feel me now. Picture my pain, embrace my words, make the world change. And still I smell, nigga.
And now a moment of silence. Let us pray. And as you journey into outer space, may the angels help to lead the way. May the prayers that our families make shine upon your soul and keep it safe. And all the homies that have passed away, they're there to greet you as you pass the gate. And as you head to the tunnel's light, I hope it leads to eternal life. We save a prayer for the homie pop.
Help us and watch. Hustle in the hood, but won't build in the hood. kill in the hood, but won't kill in the hood. Still niggas rise, bitch niggas lay low. Warriors organized, we the side of the town. Warriors, black power cases. You can heal the hood, organize the cases. You can find a hood if you claim a gangster. You ain't dealing with that, you's a punkin' waster, huh? Warriors, black power cases. You can heal the hood, organize the cases. You can find a hood if you claim a gangster. You ain't dealing with that, you's a punkin' waster.
They talk Hollywood, Scarface to the youngsters. Street dreams of being a G with no substance. Probably love, override, oppressive dominion. Bang on each other, tell me what message are we sending? Enemies come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. Just because you black don't make you a brother. What we need is structure, a code of culture. The most bravest riders, the smartest hustlers, organized like soldiers. The bank for justice and get rid of the busters. Uncle Tom's ain't snitches or monsters. You gotta be conscious, you sleep, you slipping. When you ain't hip, you ain't on top of your pimping. And that's the difference between one of these wannabe Tony Montanas with a bandana and a real G that's riding for something. Family first, loyalty, love, honor, respect. How you banging and don't know the history of your own sex? We came a long way, but still today we not free yet. So don't consider this a diss, homie, it's a G-check. We need
that. Warriors, black power cases. You can heal the hood, open up the cases. You can find a hood if you claim a gangster. You ain't dealing with that, you's a punkin' waster. Warriors, black power cases. You can heal the hood, open up the cases. You can find a hood if you claim a gangster. Dealing with that, you's a punkin' waster. You ain't riding for the struggle. I don't care who rock you. I don't care who knock you. I don't care who pop you. Saggy motherfucker, I don't care who drop you. Leave them bitches alone.
I want some little Bobby Hutton, that Geronimo the doctor. Follow up Garvey, just like Malcolm Little Father. George Washington Harper, make a palm out of peanut. Add a little piece of black power, you'll see what happens when you eat out of the OG cookbook. Recipe for revolution, niggas in the street be shooting. Watch me be like Huey Newton, punching pigs in the face. I'm the page of history that they wanna erase, yo. I'm the blood in their mouth, yes, I'm the foul taste, yo. I'm that loose screw that they just wanna replace, but they can't make Uncle Tom niggas fake. When I come through like the Native Movement in my war paint, see the difference in us and them. We bang on the system, not on our brothers and sisters. That's simple and that's a given. I'm living the G life, they getting us free like that RBG life. Slipping like Dirty's and my wife.
Yo, I am full for head of bills, shed a tear, yeah. When I think about my niggas who's here and they ain't here. Oh, ain't here. Too much love and it's too much hate here. The hood, too much drugs and too much faith here. I'm good, good. Cause I'm surrounded by real folk who do most anything they could just to change our situation. Welfare won't change our situation. Welfare, healthcare finna change our situation. My platform is education. It's elevated like the train station. The locks told you we made it, we made it. You never be faded than BPG. Like bootleg DVDs. Mom, he a old school dog. Free up in the city, calm and dark. Man, I'm a tenement lieutenant. Never forget my antennas. Help get a little nigga leave his pack. Hustle for fam, I know we need his stack. Jesus black.
Y'all assess the damage from the right. Y'all about to see messing with me. I let y'all clean up the mess that we leave behind. All soldiers hit the front line. It's time we join the NBDP, the only cavalry that makes sense to me. Pick up AKs and blast on the one accord. These are orders from me. I am not Lord. I let y'all assess the damage from the right. Y'all about to see messing with me. I let y'all clean up the mess that we leave behind. All soldiers. Time. join the NBP. The only cavalry that makes sense to me. Pick up AKs and blast on the one accord. These are orders from me, I am thy lord.
Black power, black power, black power. You are listening to the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense nightly broadcast here on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting to you live from the hills and scales and the belly of the beast in America KKK. We have a listening audience that goes all across the planet Earth. We want to give a particular shout out to those of you who are listening in the motherland of Africa. Tonight's program has a very clear topic. This topic was brought to you by our co-host tonight, Brother Emmanuel. We also have our National Minister of Culture on the line, Brother Greg. What I want to do is I'm going to make sure we get a quick mic check, but as I was sitting here doing a little engineering and I put in the word, I didn't even finish putting revolution, it got to revolve. I didn't even get to finish putting the whole word in. And it's interesting, four particular great ancestors popped up. And Spirit is telling me these are short clips. Well, let me see, two of them are short clips and two of them actually have full versions. Let me see, we have fuller versions and shorter versions of two clips that we played previously. So what I'm going to do is I would like to start off by doing a mic check. Brother Emmanuel, mic check, mic check.
Black Power, that's me.
All right, right on, right on. Brother Greg, mic check, mic check.
Power, I'm here.
Okay, okay. I hear, let her say it.
Black power.
I hear the baby in the back. Black power, that's what I'm talking about. So that's the right energy. But I'm moving on the spirit right here because all of these revolutionary ancestors got something very powerful to add to tonight's bill. And I'm going to ask that we are patient and listen. I got a... 3-minute clip here from Gil Scott Heron, may he rest in peace. The revolutionary will not be televised. That's a quick 3-minute clip. And then we have a clip from the one of the founders of the Black Panther Party movement, Baba Kwame Ture. Many people may or may not know that the Black Panther Party symbol was first raised not in California, but in Alabama, Lyons County, Alabama, to be exact. At the time, the brother was known as Stokely Carmichael. He later changed his name to Kwame Ture. And this is a quick 4-minute clip from the brother. And then we also have two clips, two 20-minute clips, one from Malcolm and one from Dr. Khaled. What I'll do is I'm going to start off with the first two short clips. We'll do a bill, and we can let's make a decision collectively here. You know, do we want to play these other two 20-minute clips of with Malcolm with What is Black Revolution? The last time we played the full 1 hour, we got a 20-minute shorter version, and then we have we played a full 1-hour version of Dr. Khaled's revolution is the solution. In fact, it's a 6-minute clip from Dr. Khaled. Yeah. So we got a 3, 7, and 6. And then the Dr. Khaled, I'm sorry, the Malcolm will be 20 minutes. So that's a little bit over 30 minutes. What y'all say, brother? Y'all want to start out with the ancestors, ride it all the way through?
I love you.
Can hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Okay. The clip sounds great. I'm just hoping that we get a lot of callers in, you know, to get some feedback and some great input, because this is a fantastic topic. It's a fantastic
right.
topic.
Right. Well, as time has been going so far, we've been getting some extra time over. We do have several callers in the queue already. No one's pressed one, but the switchboard is already lit up. So without further ado, I'm gonna go ahead and do this Black Power mix. Do this Black Power mix.
How about we let some of them callers speak first before we get into the clips?
No callers, not one caller is press one. We don't have any callers press
okay,
one.
Okay, cool.
I'm just saying we got a lot of people on the line. Let's go to the ancestors.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
There's a difference between revolution and reform. Big difference. In reform, a man observing a foundation, observing a system, sees many problems. But he assumes that there's nothing wrong with the system. The foundation of the system for him is a good system. Thus, what he seeks to do is to change the building as best he can, but he wants to leave the foundation intact. Example, if I came to this building, it's Ackerman Hall, is it not? If I came to Ackerman Hall and I looked at the foundation was falling. It was just falling, couldn't possibly stand. If I were a reformist, I'd say, okay, put a piece of board over that. So we cover the foundation. We haven't touched it. And then I'll come here and say, put a window there. Put a door here. Put a frame here. Put two rooms where there used to be one. What I'm doing is reforming the system. I am trying to make it look different, but I'm keeping the same rotten foundation. You must understand that, because this country is full of reformists, black people notwithstanding. And these reformists have a tendency to deceive you, to let you believe that things are really being changed, when in fact the foundation has not been touched, and the longer it stays, the more rotten it becomes. The more rotten it becomes. A revolutionary comes into the building, observes Ackerman Hall, and says, looks at the foundation and said, hey, this foundation is filthy, it's rotten, it's corrupt. It must be torn up. A new one must be put in its place. Once he makes that decision, and once that theoretical decision which he's made is demonstrated actively in his day-to-day life, you have a revolutionary. Thus, a revolutionary is not someone who seeks to reform a system. He's someone who seeks to replace it. I'm a revolutionary. I'm not a reformist. I want the American system destroyed. It must be destroyed and has to be replaced. Has to be replaced. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Again, I'm not calling for revolution. I see it coming, and I want to be part of the solution. I don't want to be part of the problem. I've been the victim too long, so I want to be part of the solution. I am saying that all of us must opt for revolution. All of us must opt for revolution. Now, revolution is very scientific. There's nothing emotional about it. There's nothing emotional about it. President Sekou Touré, a wise and courageous African revolutionary, says that in revolution there is no sentimentality. There is none. Whether I like something or do not like something, it is scientifically determined for me. Thus, I must do it. So I have no sentiments involved in my work. I just have to do what I have to do, and I will do it the best way I can. Best way I can. Now, revolution, we said, follows scientific laws. If you come and you look at the foundation, and you see the foundation is rotten, and you say that you want to replace this foundation, you want a new system, you're asking for revolution. Because what you're saying is that you want another system where there is a system. And we know scientifically that no two things can occupy the same place at the same time. I mean, that's logic. So if you say that you're against capitalism and you want another system put in the place of capitalism, then all you're saying is that you want revolution, because capitalism and this other thing cannot occupy America at the same time. Only one will occupy it. Only one will be dominant. Thus, if you say you want revolution, you understand you're talking about scientific principles. Two systems cannot occupy the same space at the same time. I'm opposed to capitalism. I seek an economic system which must follow the principles of scientific socialism. This system must come, will come, all over the world, America notwithstanding. It must come and will come.
Self-defense and fight for your freedom and independence and right. Take your God and your gun. use whatever your enemy has, like David did. Like David did a slingshot, and once he struck Goliath in the head, then he took Goliath's own weapon and chopped his damn head off with it. Don't be afraid of the white man's gun.
Right.
Don't be afraid of the white man's newspaper, his magazine. Don't be afraid of the white man's news cameras. Use them in a revolutionary way.
Right.
Don't be a fool, but use them in a revolutionary manner. We must have proper propaganda. We must be able to get our message out. We must be able to get our program and our platform out to the masses of our people who otherwise are not here today within these four walls, and many don't even know we met here today. So we must seize the time, whatever the time presents itself or avails itself,
right,
that we can get this message to the masses of our people, and the movement will grow because their knowledge of our struggle will grow.
You say you go to church?
You say you believe in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible say before Moses could lead his people to the promised land, they had to go through the Red Sea.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You think they crossed some water, waded through a puddle, and stepped over a pond, and they could swim a little bit. That's not what the hell the book is talking about. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad said the Red Sea represents war, bloodshed, and revolution.
That's right.
War, bloodshed, and revolution. Before you can get to the promised land, you got to go through war, bloodshed, and a revolution. Revolution is the solution.
All right.
Whatever you are, be a revolutionary.
That's right.
I don't give a damn what you are. We are revolutionary.
Right.
You're a teacher. I teach. I'm an educator. Well, that's fine. We need some nigga educators. And we need some black ones, too. You're an educator. Be a revolutionary educator. Teach revolution in the classroom. Take the subject matter of the curriculum and teach revolution with that subject matter. You say, well, I'm a doctor. Well, I'm a lawyer. Be a revolutionary lawyer.
Right.
Be a revolutionary doctor.
All right.
Be a revolutionary at whatever you do.
That's right.
You hip hop? Huh?
Yeah.
You rap? Be a revolutionary rapper. Bust revolutionary rhymes.
Right.
That will uplift your people. You got them wearing their pants down halfway across the crack of their mind.
Right.
You got them showing their bras pulled way up here. You got them looking like damn fools all over the place. You got that kind of influence. You are holding up the damn revolution. If you got that kind of influence, put revolution on the minds of your people. Be a revolutionary. Whatever you do, be a revolutionary. You say, I'm just a mother. You're not just a mother. You hold the future of the revolution in your arms. You hold the future of the revolution of your people close to your breast, close to your bosom. Be a revolutionary mother. Put revolutionary thoughts and ideas whispered in the ear of your baby. Sing revolutionary lullabies to your baby. Let your baby go to sleep under the tune of a revolutionary croon. That's a revolutionary mother. Your father, be a revolutionary father. Help bring your children up and father along the way and further along the way. Put in them that which will manifest down the wheel of time and down the line that will make them revolutionary. Teach your babies who the enemy is. Teach your babies to recognize the enemy.
That's right.
Teach your babies to know that the enemy is not your friend.
That's
and
right.
Your friend is not your enemy.
Right.
Make them to fight the enemy even if they have to fight the enemy with a baby bottle.
That's right.
Teach your babies to be revolutionary. You grandma, you grandpa, be revolutionary, grandma, grandpa. You rock the hell out of that rocking chair with some revolutionary rhythm. So we hear the creak of the board, so that we hear you putting down revolution. The Democratic Party is not the solution.
No good, right.
The Republican Party is not the solution.
No good, right.
A future in white America is not the solution.
No good.
There is no magical white man that's going to be born that's going to have such a miraculous change of heart that he's going to free you.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to have just an off-the-cuff chat between you and me, us. We want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand. We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed, that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is us. We're her problem. The only reason she has a problem is she doesn't want us here. And every time you look at yourself, be you black, brown, red, or yellow, a so-called Negro, you represent a person who poses such a serious problem for America because you're not wanted. Once you face this as a fact, then you can start plotting a course that will make you appear intelligent instead of unintelligent. What you and I need to do is learn to forget our differences. Right. When we come together, we don't come together as Baptists or Methodists. You don't catch hell because you're a Baptist, and you don't catch hell because you're a Methodist. You don't catch hell because you're a Methodist or a Baptist. You don't catch hell because you're a Democrat or a Republican. You don't catch hell because you're a Mason or an elf. And you sure don't catch hell because you're an American, because if you was an American, you wouldn't catch no hell. You catch hell because you're a black man. You catch hell, all of us catch hell for the same reason. So we are all black people, so-called Negroes, second-class citizens, ex-slaves. You are nothing but an ex-slave. You don't like to be told that. But what else are you? You are ex-slave. You didn't come here on the Mayflower. You came here in a slave ship, in chains, like a horse or a cow or a chicken. And you were brought here by the people who came here on the Mayflower. You were brought here by the so-called pilgrims or founding fathers. They were the ones who brought you here. We have a common enemy. We have this in common. We have a common oppressor, a common exploiter, and a common discriminator. So once we all realize that we have this common enemy, then we unite on the basis of what we have in common. And what we have foremost in common is that enemy, the white man. He's an enemy to all of us. I know some of you all think that some of them aren't enemies. Time will tell. In Bandung, back in, I think, 1954, was the first unity meeting in centuries of black people. And once you study what happened at the Bandung Conference and the results of the Bandung Conference, it actually serves as a model for the same procedure you and I can use to get our problem solved. At Bandung, all the nations came together. They were dark nations from Africa and Asia. Some of them were Buddhists. Some of them were Muslim. Some of them were Christian. Some of them were Confucianists. Some were atheists. Despite their religious differences, they came together. Some were communists. Some were socialists. Some were capitalists. Despite their economic and political differences, they came together. All of them were black, brown, red, or yellow. The number one thing that was not allowed to attend the Bandung Conference was the white man. He couldn't come. Once they excluded the white man, they found that they could get together. Once they kept him out, everybody else fell right in and fell in line. This is the thing that you and I have to understand. And these people who came together didn't have nuclear weapons. They didn't have jet planes. They didn't have all of the heavy armaments that the white man has, but they had unity. They were able to submerge their little petty differences and agree on one thing, that though one African came from Kenya and was being colonized by the Englishmen, and another African came from the Congo and was being colonized by the Belgian, and another African came from Guinea and was being colonized by the French, and another came from Angola and was being colonized by the Portuguese. When they came to the Bandung Conference, they looked at the Portuguese and at the Frenchmen and at the Englishmen and at the other Dutchmen and learn or realize that the one thing that all of them had in common, they were all from Europe. They were all Europeans, blonde, blue-eyed, and white-skinned. They began to recognize who their enemy was. The same man that was colonizing our people in Kenya was colonizing our people in the Congo. The same one in the Congo was colonizing our people in South Africa and in southern Rhodesia and in Burma and in India and in Afghanistan and in Pakistan. They realized all over the world where a dark man was being oppressed, he was being oppressed by the white man. Where the dark man was being exploited, he was being exploited by the white man. So they got together under this basis, that they had a common enemy. And when you and I here in Detroit and in Michigan and in America, who have been awakened today, look around us, we too realize here in America, we all have a common enemy. Whether he's in Georgia or Michigan, whether he's in California or New York, he's the same man. Blue eyes and blonde hair and pale skin. Same man. So what we have to do is what they did. They agreed to stop quarreling among themselves. Any little spat that they had, they'd settle it among themselves. Go into a huddle. Don't let the enemy know that you got a disagreement. Instead of us airing our differences in public, we have to realize we're all the same family. And when you have a family squabble, you don't get out on the sidewalk. If you do, everybody calls you uncouth, unrefined, uncivilized, savage. If you don't make it at home, you settle it at home. You get in the closet, argue it out behind closed doors. And then when you come out on the street, you pose a common front, a united front. And this is what we need to do in the community and in the city and in the state. We need to stop airing our differences in front of the white man. Put the white man out of our meeting, number one, and then sit down and talk shop with each other. That's all you got to do. I would like to make a few comments concerning the difference between the black revolution and the Negro revolution. There's a difference. Are they both the same? And if they're not, what is the difference? What is the difference between a black revolution and a Negro revolution? First, what is a revolution? Sometimes I'm inclined to believe that many of our people are using this word revolution loosely without taking careful consideration what this word actually means and what its historic characteristics are. When you study the historic nature of revolution, the motive of a revolution, the objective of a revolution, and the result of a revolution, and the methods used in a revolution, you may change words. You may devise another program. You may change your goal and you may change your mind. Look at the American Revolution in 1776. That revolution was for what? For land. How was it? Why did they want land? Independence. How was it carried out? Bloodshed. Number one, it was based on land. The basis of independence. And the only way they could get it was bloodshed. The French Revolution, what was it based on? The landless against the landlord. What was it for? Land How did they get it? Bloodshed. Was no love lost. Was no compromise. Was no negotiation. I'm telling you, you don't know what a revolution is. Because when you find out what it is, you'll get back in the alley. You'll get out of the way. The moment. The Russian Revolution. What was it based on? Land. The landless against the landlord. How did they bring it about? Bloodshed. You haven't got a revolution that doesn't involve bloodshed. And you're afraid to bleed. I said you're afraid to bleed. Long as the white man sent you to Korea, you bled. He sent you to Germany, you bled. He sent you to the South Pacific to fight the Japanese, you bled. You bleed for white people. But when it comes time to seeing your own churches being bombed and little black girls murdered, you haven't got no blood. You bleed when the white man says bleed. You bite when the white man says bite. And you bark when the white man says bark. I hate to say this about us, but it's true. How you gonna be nonviolent in Mississippi as violent as you were in Korea? How can you justify being nonviolent in Mississippi and Alabama when your churches are being bombed and your little girls are being murdered? And at the same time, you're going to get violent with Hitler and Tojo and somebody else that you don't even know. If violence is wrong in America, violence is wrong abroad. If it's wrong to be violent, defending black women and black children and black babies and black men, then it's wrong for America to draft us and make us violent abroad in defense of her. The Chinese Revolution. They wanted land. They threw the British out, along with the Uncle Tom Chinese. Yeah, they did. They set a good example. When I was in prison, I read an article in, don't be shocked when I say I was in prison, you still in prison. That's what America means, prison. When I was in prison, I read an article in Life magazine showing a little Chinese girl, 9 years old, her father was on his hands and knees and she was pulling the trigger because he was an Uncle Tom Chinaman. Yeah. When they had the revolution over there, they took a whole generation of Uncle Toms, right. Just wiped them out. Yeah, right. And within 10 years, that little girl became a full-grown woman. No more Toms in China. And today is one of the toughest, roughest, most feared countries on this earth by the white man because there are no Uncle Toms over there. Of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward all research. And when you see that you got problems, all you have to do is examine the historic method used all over the world by others who had problems similar to yours. And once you see how they got theirs straight, then you know how you can get yours straight. There's been a revolution, a black revolution, going on in Africa. In Kenya, the Mau Mau were revolutionaries. They were the ones who made the word Uhuru. They were the ones who brought it to the fore. The Mau Mau, they were revolutionaries. They believed in scorched earth. They knocked everything aside that got in their path. And their revolution also was based on land. a desire for land. In Algeria, the northern part of Africa, a revolution took place. The Algerians were revolutionists. They wanted land. France offered to let them be integrated into France. They told France to hell with France. They wanted some land, not some France. And they engaged in a bloody battle. So I cite these various revolutions, brothers and sisters, to show you, you don't have a peaceful revolution. You don't have a turn-the-other-cheek revolution. There's no such thing as a nonviolent revolution. Only kind of revolution that's nonviolent is the Negro Revolution. The only revolution based on loving your enemy is the Negro Revolution. The only revolution in which the goal is a desegregated lunch counter, a desegregated theater, a desegregated park, and a desegregated public toilet. You can sit down next to white folks on the toilet. That's no revolution. Revolution is based on land. Land is the basis of all independence. Land is the basis of freedom, justice, and equality. The white man knows what a revolution is. He knows that the black revolution is worldwide in scope and in nature. The black revolution is sweeping Asia, sweeping Africa. It's rearing its head in Latin America. The Cuban Revolution, that's a revolution. They overturned the system. Revolution is in Asia. Revolution is in Africa. And the white man is screaming because he sees revolution in Latin America. How do you think he'll react to you when you learn what a real revolution is? You don't know what a revolution is. If you did, you wouldn't use that word. A revolution is bloody. Revolution is hostile. Revolution knows no compromise. Revolution overturns and destroys everything that gets in its way. And you sitting around here like a knot on these folks, no matter how much they hate me. No, you need a revolution. Who ever heard of a revolution where they lock arms, as Reverend Cleague was pointing out beautifully, singing, "We Shall Overcome"? Just tell me you don't do that in a revolution. You don't do any singing. You're too busy swinging. It's based on land. A revolutionary wants land so he can set up his own nation.
That's right.
An independent nation.
That's right.
These Negroes aren't asking for no nation. They're trying to crawl back on the plantation. When you want a nation, that's called nationalism. When the white man became involved in a revolution in this country against England, what was it for? He wanted this land so he could set up another white nation. That's white nationalism. The American Revolution was white nationalism. The French Revolution was white nationalism. The Russian Revolution, too, yes, it was white nationalism. You don't think so? Why you think Khrushchev and Mao can't get their heads together? White nationalism. All the revolutions that's going on in Asia, in Africa today, are based on what? Black nationalism. A revolutionary is a black nationalist. He wants a nation. I was reading some beautiful words by Reverend Klee, pointing out why he couldn't get together with someone else here in the city. Because all of them were afraid of being identified with black nationalism. If you're afraid of black nationalism, you're afraid of revolution. And if you love revolution, you love black nationalism.
Black power. Black power, black power. Thank you for everyone that was patient enough to listen to the words of our revolutionary ancestors. We heard from Gil Scott-Heron, followed by Kwame Ture, Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, and of course, the last great ancestor to speak was El Haj Malik Shabazz, more commonly known as Malcolm X. So we have a clear perspective and foundation. I would like to give a homework assignment, some revolutionary context, some information that all of you should have in your database. You could access this. This is the book entitled Handbook for Revolutionary Warfare, written by another great ancestor, Kwame Ture. He wrote this book in 1966 to be exact, in Guinea. And this book has a lot of great principles that we should study as freedom fighters. Not only should we study it, we should internalize. I'm not going to go through the whole book, but I do want to read a preface that Kwame Nkrumah wrote at the beginning of this book. It's a PDF. If you go on, you Google Handbook of Revolutionary Warfare by Kwame, spelled K-W-A-M-E, Nkrumah, spelled N-K-R-U-M-A-H. That's Kwame Nkrumah. And it's only 145 pages. Real short book, but straight to the point. But I want to quickly reference the preface, just one paragraph in it, and then we're going to go ahead and get into it, tonight's discussion. It says, the Black Power movement in the U.S. and the struggles of African descendants in the Caribbean, South America, and elsewhere form an integral part of the African political, military, revolutionary struggle. Our victory will be their victory also. And the victory of all the revolutionaries, oppressed and exploited masses of the world who are challenging the capitalist, imperialist, and neocolonialist power structure of reaction and counter-revolution. Yes, this role of revolutionary, the definition, the participant of a revolutionary automatically, and this is what I'm saying based on that statement from Kwame Nkrumah, are global. It will affect all of us, and it is affecting all of us as we are dealing with a wicked system of so-called white supremacy. And as you go into this document written in 1966, you will see that it heavily influenced the Black Panther Party. Just as right now there are revolutions going on all across Africa, South America. It's not just, and under those of us here in the United States, we are being tricked by constant attacks and propaganda of reform. Reform. a reformist would have you go to the vote, to the polls and vote. You are still trying to participate in a rotten foundation, in a rotten system, a government, a system of so-called white supremacy that is rooted, operated, and fights every day, day in, day out, on our bloodshed, on our genocide. Make no mistake about it. You can run and say, well, you know what, I got education. If your education is not revolutionary, if you're not taking your education and applying it to revolutionarize everything and those who you touch, if you don't operate on revolutionary principles, if you're self-centered, and you don't do things in a revolutionary and just manner, i.e., having secret hearings, conspiring, the destruction of revolutionary formations and operations, harboring ill things in your heart, and the moment you see an opportunity to either exploit or sabotage, you move on it. These are just a few things, some revolutionary principles. But tonight's topic is the role of a revolutionary, defining the roles of a revolutionary. So I'm going to start. I'm going to pass the mic, and I will jump in, and we will open up the mic for other people to participate. But we want to start with Brother Emmanuel, followed by Brother Greg, and let's be courteous that we have an exchange, a dialogue. We're going to, you know, allow one another to complete the thoughts. If you feel the need to, you know, add in your amen, black power right on, there's nothing wrong with that. But let's give each other room to express ourselves, and we will open up the call for the callers, as this is the proper propaganda, political education. We will tell no lies and claim no easy victories. Oh, I don't know if I'm still on the line. Yeah, we will tell no lies and claim no easy victories. Will we have rough patches? Of course. The question is, how do you handle the rough patch? Will we have good moments? Happens all the time. But don't be no fair weather soldier. Will you jump ship and break ranks when the patchy stuff going on and only want to enjoy on the great moments or the good moments? So with that being said, in our 12 Duties of a Panther, it says the sole purpose of a panther is to be a revolutionary. Revolutionary. That's one of the parts of the five duties of a panther. That's how it starts off. In our manual, it also says, I'm sorry, a revolutionary in African people's struggle. Let me be clear. Not just any old revolutionary. And also in our manual, there's another section. It says, what is the objective of the new Black Panther Party? And quite simply, it says our objective is black liberation, not half black liberation, not partial, complete revolutionary action, goals, objectives as revolutionaries of the New Black Panther Party is black liberation. It also goes on to say that the New Black Panther Party, in another section, it says the New Black Panther Party, we are black nationalists, Pan-African, revolutionary scientists. not just black nationalists. We are that, for us, by us, self-determination. But also we understand, as I just read an excerpt from Kwame Nkrumah, that our fight for revolution is encompassing and a part of and not separate from the fight for revolution to dismantle, get rid of, destroy, annihilate colonialism and neocolonialism in Africa and all across the planet Earth. Colonialism from the European and all the other nations that have long, far too long, have murdered, plundered, raped, robbed, pillaged us as the original people of the planet Earth, African people. So with that being said, passing the mic to the comrade Emmanuel, Black Power. Come off mute, buddy, man. You have the floor, Black Power. Mic check, brother Emmanuel, are you here? I can't hear him. Brother Greg, jump in. Cover down. Hold the line. Black Power.
Black Power. I'm here just at the step outside with this little girl and this little puppy. But another great show. When you think of revolutionary or revolution, one of the first thing I always do, and I've said this before with many of my teachers, you need to understand the meaning of words. And when we talk about revolution or revolutionary, we're talking about change. And that change can come in many different forms. Many times that change or those forms that it comes in is not a peaceful way whatsoever. And I want to make that specifically clear because, again, when we talk about revolution, we have, for example, what we just listened to, our brother, our ancestor Malcolm mentioned, the Chinese Revolution. They demanded change. They demanded some things to be implemented because of a system that was in place that was not beneficial for them. We can also mention the quote-unquote what we've all been drilled here in this country, referring to the American Revolution. They wanted change. They wanted things to be different. They did not want it to be up under that British rule. So when we look at our ancestors and up into our modern day, there's no damn difference in what we're seeking, change. And that change can and should come by any means necessary. How is it that we can live in this society who glorified, made sure they drilled us educationally how great, wonderful, and fantastic the American Revolution was, but when it comes time for people to stand up against them in a revolutionary way, it's not looked at in the same manner? Revolution, something our ancestors fought, gave their lives in for change. Many of us nowadays won't even bat an eye when it's coming to change, won't even make a stand up in no shape, form, or fashion when it comes to change. And I think that's an insult to our ancestors. I always say, everybody can't do everything, but everybody can do something. I'm sorry about that in the background. Everybody can't do everything, but everybody can do something when it comes down to change and revolution for us. And this is a prime time for many of us to really stand up, because when we look at what the hell we're going through with this, I don't even know the words to call this dumbass, idiotic, lying-ass presidency who got all of these half-ass Negroes fooled and bamboozled. You ain't black if you don't vote for me. And turn around and get the same old thing. We got nothing with this president. We got nothing with Trump. We got nothing with Obama. How far do we have to go back to keep making this point clear? That unless we stand up in a revolutionary way, we're not going to get anything. I listened to something last night that I listened to a couple of years ago, and I'll make reference to it. It's called We Count. Back 2010, there was a round table. We had our Honorable Louis Farrakhan. We had Eric Mike Dyson. We had our great sister, Julianne Malvo. It was hosted by our brother, Tavis Smiley. And in that series, not so much a series, in that conference that they had, our great brother, Louis Farrakhan, pointed out something that Julianne Malvo had mentioned. She mentioned A. Philip Randolph. And when A. Philip Randolph brought to the table to the president at the time, I believe it was Lyndon B. Johnson, that what we wanted was jobs, number one. Fast forward to the civil rights movement. What was one of the main things? Jobs and equality. 25-year anniversary of the March on Washington. Jobs. Same old thing. And our great brother, I mean, adamantly slammed on the table, and he asked everybody, not only at the table but in the damn audience, how long are you going to sit around waiting for white people to do for you what you've got the power to do for yourselves? And I say that to everyone listening. Stop sitting around waiting for somebody to come and do something and save us. We've had our great ancestor, Dr. Henry Clark, point out we have no friends. We've had tons and tons and tons of our great ancestors and leaders. Our great brother ancestor, Khaled Muhammad, I don't know how many times he's pointed out to us, ain't no damn body going to do anything for us. We got to do it for ourselves. So people who are listening, not only hit that number one button, I want you to go back and I want you to look up for yourself, what is the meaning of revolution? I challenge you to look up some of your great revolutionists. Imitate them. Bring that fire and that work that they put in for us. It shouldn't go in vain. It shouldn't fall at the wayside. In this society, it's gotten so easy for people to become complacent, lazy, for things to be easily pulled over their eyes. Just because you have a couple of extra rights here and there, just because you were integrated some shape, form, or fashion, doesn't make you equal. Doesn't mean that you're going to get the same thing. People, this country has fought long and hard up until today to make sure that their presence is known worldwide. If they can't get someone to agree with them, they're going to take it. No different than being a revolutionary. Making changes, getting what you want by any means necessary. We got to stop sitting around allowing ourselves to be walked and ran over, being afraid to say something. I hope we got a lot of people listening, and I hope y'all got enough courage. Hit that number one. I know y'all enjoy getting all of this knowledge. I know y'all enjoy the broadcast that we bring on every single night. Let's not be selfish all the way around. Hit that number one. Let's hear what you got to say. Black power.
She said black power.
She wanted to say something upstairs because she hears us all the time talk about hit number one. She's just been dying to say that.
The number one. Tell them, baby. Hit the number one, black power. Black power. All right. So we have a task. We have a couple of tasks, but I want to, you know, do a little political education. We are having our comrade come on the line. I see a couple of definitions. When you just do a Google, I want to, you know, just seeing what Google said about the role of a revolutionary. And very quickly, something popped up. It said, got some context to it, but we're going to go far more into it. It said, the roles of a revolutionary, this document, oh, Lord, I might not want to read this when I just saw what it said. It says that the role of a revolutionary, hold on, you know something? Yeah, this, when I see this, where this is coming from, I'm going to back up off of this and study it a little further, because the title in itself says Role of a Revolutionary, but it says it's coming from Black Rose Fed, FED.org. Yeah, I think I'm going to vet this a little further before I read it, just because it had the word FED in it. Black Rose Anarchist Federation. Okay, I see what's going on. Yeah, I'm going to pass on that for a second. I'm going to go ahead and find something more better than this. Let me go ahead and open up the mic. Are you ready now, buddy man? You Black Power, brother. Black Power, buddy man, you ready?
Black Power, can y'all hear me?
Okay, we can hear you. We can hear you. You have the floor, Black Power.
Black Power, giving all honor to those who came in the great line of divine before
all
us.
All right, it's low.
Let's see if we can amp this up. Can y'all hear me better now?
Another mic check.
Can you hear me better now?
Get a mic check. It's okay. Is there anything that you can do to make it a little louder? Mic check, mic check. Just say mic check a couple times. Buddy Emmanuel. Buddy Emmanuel. Honest. All right, just go back to how you were first. Just go back to how you were first. We can't hear you at all, brother. Mic check, mic check. Calling for our brother Emmanuel. All
Black right. Power, can y'all hear me?
Can you hear me?
There you go. That's it. Let's get it. Black Power.
Black Power. Giving all honor to those who came in the great line of divine before us, those that will come after us, and most importantly, those that are here at this moment. We greet you all with the greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum. And we will hope we will receive the greeting words, the answer to that, which is the response should be, if you're my brother or my sister, wa alaykum salam, meaning that same peace back to me that only God can give. Thank you. We are speaking about, and it's amazing that you went to the dictionary. We were talking about, like Brother Mama was speaking to us on many nights ago about the power of definition and how the power of definition has been taken from us. So words that are used over here have a different meaning than they use them in another language. The same word, different meanings. And so we are breaking down tonight's topic, the role of the revolutionary. And it's beautiful that we had our ancestors come in first and speak and give us some background knowledge on how they felt about it at that time when they were in the positions of authority to teach us. And now here we are with that same authority over those that are listening, and we must teach them the proper role of a revolutionary. And so we look at Malcolm. We look at Martin, and we look at Malik, our Honorable Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and we wonder, what is the revolutionary? We know we've heard Khalid say, a revolution is complete constructive change. Complete constructive change. Breaking those words down, complete means total. All of it. Constructive means something that is built, that is engineered, constructive. And change, well, y'all know what that is all in itself. It is to do the opposite of what one is doing. So if we are to have those three things, then as Malcolm said,
it will be a revolving cycle, which will change everything. And a revolution, a revolving cycle means, in some ways, you can return back to the same point you were at. Like when you look on that clock, and that clock, it changes from 1 o'clock, and then it goes to 2. Well, after a while, that those hands are going to come back to that 1 in the same fashion they were in the first place. And the clock will read 1 o'clock again. But it'll be a new day. It'll be a new time when the clock comes back. So the revolution means that it will not be the same, even though it will be the same. We don't want to get anybody confused. We want to go how our teachers taught us, and we want to make it plain. So when we look in the dictionary that we are all taught over here is our definitions, it says the role's definition is the function assumed or part played by a person or thing in a particular situation. The function assumed, not the function that's made to be, but the function assumed or the part played by a person or thing in a particular situation. So that is a role. That is the definition of a role. It is something that you assume, and assume means that you are not made to do it, but in a way you're volunteering to do it from your own self. You know what you are supposed to do. And so as many people say, I assume command, I assume this authority or something. Well, I know this is what I'm supposed to do, so I don't need anybody say so to do it. I'm going to go ahead and do it. So that is a role. So in any situation that you're in the role, there's something that you're assuming to do. It's something that you are playing the part as. Now, the revolutionary, we want to go through revolution. First revolution definition says a forcible overthrow of a government or social order in favor of a new system. Again, a forcible, meaning there's no permission given in this. That goes the assuming. Aren't those synonymous? Don't those kind of sound the same, have the same definition of something that is not given authority over, but it's done anyway by the person that's doing. So a revolution means that you don't ask. You make this happen, and you overthrow the government that's in already. If the government is the system in your house, you're going to overthrow it. Means you're going to take what it is, and you're going to go past it without its permission in favor of a new system. So you have to have a new system if you're going to revolve, if you're doing a revolution. And as we say, we're using the clock. The clock is going to turn. Once it leaves 1 o'clock, it's another time on that it's going to go to. It's going to go to 2. Then it's going to go to 3 before it comes all the way back. Now, revolutionary is involving or causing a complete dramatic change and engaged in or promoting political revolution, involving or causing a complete dramatic change. And the change can't be normal. It has to be dramatic. These are the words, forcible, dramatic, assumed. So when we bring all those things together, then we know to do this, we're not asking for permission. We're not asking nobody to come on tonight and listen to us. Everybody that's here has assumed their roles in this liberation of our people and are doing it on their own. So we're talking about defining the role of a revolutionary. Well, as Khaled told us, if you're going to do anything, you must be a revolutionary in all of it. If you're going to be a teacher, if you're going to be a lawyer, be a revolutionary, all that. Well, what that is basically letting you know that it is going to be a structure in the revolution. And in the home structure, the black home, the black nation, to be the revolutionist that we must be, everybody's going to have to play a part. So you can't just come in and say, I'm going to revolve, me the father, and the mother is not involved. You can't say me the mother and the father are going to revolve and the children not be. Because all those components are going to work together regardless if you like it or not. If you change the time from one, everybody's going to take notice. And so everybody would be affected by the change of the time. So everybody needs to go with the flow. Everybody needs to be involved in the change. And in our households is what we brought this topic up tonight, because we want to shine some light on the situation that we have of being revolutionaries. We have a mother and we have a father. Now, if you are a father revolutionary, then the mother's role is that of support. If you are a mother revolutionary, like many of our sisters, you know, lead the revolution, you'll need the father's support. And if you're a mother and a father, you have to have the children's support. So you're going to have to be a revolutionary husband, a revolutionary wife, revolutionary children. You can even go all the way down to the grandparents and the aunts and the uncles and the cousins, because what you do is going to shine off on everybody. And if you are not in line, then others will bring you down, because the revolution is going to change how the current situation is, and that's going to make anybody uncomfortable. You can make them uncomfortable in a good way, or you can make them in a bad way uncomfortable. But it's going to change by force things. It's causing by one person a dramatic change. So everybody is going to have to be willing to assume the responsibility of taking the good with the bad. And what I mean by that is when you're out here doing these things, if your woman is not lined up with you, you're not going to have peace. You're not going to be able to accomplish what you need to accomplish. I know it's many brothers who have to sit up, and we can take example our great ancestor Malcolm. Think about these great ancestors of us, of ours, their mates. And while Malcolm was out there pushing the agenda of change for us and going to city, state to state, county to county, these are hours and days spent without his family. And everybody, if you know Malcolm X, he had many daughters. And so the love that you get from your children, you know, when they crawl, when they walk, you can only do that one time. So if you are a revolutionary and you are out to change and you are called on to do something, those are moments you're going to miss. So you're going to have to be aligned with your partner, because if not, it's going to cause chaos in the house. Because as we were thinking about our honorable ancestor Malcolm, think about Sister Betty and how many days she was alone, how many nights she went to sleep alone. But Malcolm wasn't there every night. He had to be out of town doing work. It was many times he stayed at hotels. She had to sit there and wonder in her physical mind, in her physical body, what is he doing? Does he have any woman with him? I know it's women all over this planet that hear him and know about him, and they want to be anything he would want them to be. So is he doing revolutionary work and really fixing people, or is he taking this opportunity to fool me? These are things the revolutionary wife will think about, and vice versa. If the wife is going out and the husband has to stay home and watch everything because the wife is a revolutionary leader, it's the same. You have a lot of the sisters that are leaders of the movements, and they are needed to be in certain different places and give a lot of their time. Well, when the revolutionary is the sister, then that mama can't be there nursing the kid. So somebody's going to have to step up. You're going to have to take the place. You're going to have to do it. And we need a smooth transition. Well, that's why we bring up the fact that nobody has a role in what they're supposed to do in the house. You know how they define us and tell us the women over here cook, clean, and do this and all that, as if the women are only the ones bred in life to do that, as if a man can't do that. No, men can cook, clean, do all the same things, the same functions, as we were talking about the other night, even raising the children. So when you have two individuals capable of doing that, it should be done. It doesn't matter who do it. It matters that it gets done for the running of the whole house. And so if the woman is the revolutionary, then the man can't stand in and do that. But we're bringing it to let everybody know that everybody has to be in line. If the wife ain't right, she gonna make hell on the husband. You ain't spending time with me. You ain't spending time with the kids. We wanna go here, we wanna go there. I wonder if Malcolm family ever went to Disneyland. They ever went to Disney World. They ever went to a theme park. Did they have the time to go and play at the regular parks and have picnics? And, you know, because all we see is pictures of him and his daughters, but they're in the house. We don't see really pictures of them at intimate moments. Did they go to the beach? Did they go to family reunions out of time? Did he do any of those things, go to the movies and go out to restaurants and out to eat? Or was he not able to do that because of his high publicity, his public stature, and everybody knowing him and making so many enemies by freeing us from the mental constraints? So his family would be in danger, and so the nation or him chose not to take them out of place. I mean, we wonder. But we know that he did a job, and his queen had to do a job also, and his children. They had to sacrifice time with daddy. They didn't get to spend the time like the regular children whose father and mother are not the revolutionary heads get to spend with their parents. It's some of them that's with their babies right now at this moment, giving all their attention to just that child. So when you are to be this revolutionary, it's going to be a sacrifice. So we need the whole family unit working together. It's that man who be the head is constantly getting barraged by his woman with, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. Well, that's going to make him feel like, you know, because his first obligation is to the family. So he's going to feel like, well, I got to stop doing this, and I got to please my family. Man, that's all cool and nice, and it is true that your first obligation is to that. But we got to look at a bigger picture when you are the revolution. When you are the revolutionary, your family becomes the revolutionary. Your family joins in, and you as a revolutionary have to see that this change that is being made by your deeds or a change that's going to work for the greater of the whole of us. So, yeah, I might miss, you might miss daddy for the picnic, but we're making thousands of other picnics possible for our brothers and sisters. So the children of the revolutionary ought to be honored because they're taking a sacrifice. The wife, the husband, the whole family, but we have to be lined up. If the wife is the one that's going to lead, then the husband has to be with it, because if not, he'll create an imbalance by saying, you're not doing this, you're not doing the things you're supposed to do and all this, wanting more of the attention. And it's many of our leaders back in the day that we can see, they sacrificed all that. They sacrificed that. So we must do the same thing if we're talking about being a revolutionary. That is your role. That is the function you are assuming, and so you must take it. If you're going to bring it, then you got to come on with it. So the wife and the husband and the children, everybody has to be sat down and know that we all will have roles doing this. I need y'all as the children to be the eyes and the ears over the house watching out. I need y'all to watch out for yourselves while you're out there, because you're representing someone who is making a constructive change in the world, in a world that doesn't want constructive change. So they will go after you. They will go after the wife. They had Martin Luther King used to go out and do all these speeches and these different events in different places. So he was scattered all over. He was pushed and pulled this way and that way, spent many nights in the hotels by herself, Coretta Scott King at home by herself. And one of the many things that the FBI did to break up their harmony, because they know if the family, the home is broke up, then you ain't going to get nothing. If that revolutionary can't think proper, he won't be able to deliver the things proper to the people. If she can't think proper, she won't be able to deliver the things to the people that they need in the proper way that they need. You know, a stressful environment, you're going to be stressed. You ain't going to do what you're supposed to do or how you're supposed to do it. So here we had Martin doing all these things, and what the government did was they was taping him. They were secretly recording him, and they recorded him doing some of the most, what they would call, illicit things. Him being a preacher, and define allegedly. That preachers don't do this. And What'd you say?
Allegedly, they got this. Allegedly.
Oh, yeah. It's alleged, but it's also facts. Because even Martin Luther King admitted it. And that's what I love about you, bro. Real talk. Martin Luther King admitted to what the FBI had on tape. The FBI had secretly taped him and gave the tape to his wife and told his wife, you know, listen to him. He's a prankster, man. He tells everybody this and that, and look at him. He messing with women and all this here. Well, brother, Martin Luther King ain't gay. What do you think he's supposed to mess with? Oh, he got a wife. Oh, he's just so wrong. Listen to me. The man is a man. He's in a fleshly body. And anybody that gets that much temptation, it's hard. It's hard for them not to fall into it a little bit. It's hard for them not to get lit.
He admitted
it and apologized to his wife, and that's the beautiful thing about the story, is because they thought that they could use that to make Coretta go crazy, F you, King, mess up the whole family, tell everybody and their mama, like so many times it happens with us. You find out what your dude was doing, you want to go tell everybody. Oh, Lord, look, y'all, he's supposed to be a revolution. You tear down the movement. You cause somebody else to see that person in a way they might should have not seen them at that moment because of your emotion. So they were banking and hoping that she would do that. But you know what our queen mother did? You know what our beautiful black woman did? She said no. She asked him, and he told her the truth. And they moved on. FBI was mad. Hot. How could she? Oh, man. But trust me, check this out. Who knows what Coretta Scott King was doing while Martin was gone? So you got to understand two sides of the coin. He's sitting here, he's moving around, but she's sitting here at the home, and she has all these bodyguards. Everybody's protecting the King family, the children. She had personal bodyguards that were with her at all the moments when he was gone. And she's a human being, too. How do you know what she did to heal that loneliness? See, all I'm saying is this. We don't know. But we do know what we go through today, and we know what we do. And so we know our brothers and sisters ain't too much different, but we know what they did. They did not allow what was going on behind closed doors to mess up the movement for the people. She kept her strength when they were trying to use something that is considered in this society as, oh, man, it's so evil, sex. You know, so many people get caught up on this. They blame themselves or they get emotionally tied into this physical act of pleasure, of recreation, and it goes and it tears up other things. People will be like, oh, man, I don't want the life together with this person that I done created because the sex life ain't right. The sex ain't good, or it's too much sex. It's sex, but this is something that they know is a part of the human body, and they know that some people will fall short of the definition of what's successful to the world. So if we are in other lands, and at other times you have five or six wives, and then they bring you over to this land and tell you can only have one wife, well, isn't the same physical genetic structure that made you able to please six wives, is it that same there when you are having one wife? So see, over here we've been taught to believe that the man is only supposed to have that one, and his sexual conquest or his urge for that would only be based off of that one, when that is impossible for any human to only like or come across the attraction for one person in their existence. It's just not God made it magnificent. So I don't want to go too far into that because that's a whole topic.
Wait a minute, but let me balance it out. Don't forget, we also had in Africa polyandry. in the, some of the greatest nations, in Kimberly and Mali, where the woman could have more than one husband. That's Kimberly.
See over here, they lie, and they tell us that the woman only supposed to have one, or she's only capable of being involved with one man at a time. She can't have sex with multiple partners. And over here, they say if she does, she's either a hoe or she's a hoe. And both labels are labels that when they give us the definition of them, we call hoe bad. We call a whore bad. So when they tricked us in the Bible and they said Mary Magdalene was a whore, or when they tell us the story in the Bible how they were throwing the rocks at the woman and Jesus came and said, man, whoever, you know, without sin, throw the first, cast the first stone, drew the line and so-called saved the woman because she was a whore. Well, see, the definitions is what get us thrown off, because a whore is defined as one who sells or lends their services for goods. So some women give their sexual energy in exchange for goods. Some women give their physical energy in exchange for goods. So if I could have you become my maid, if you ironed my clothes, took care of my children, the world back in that day would label you as a whore because you would lend or barter your services out for money. And this is real. A whore back in the day was not defined as a woman who just slept around. It was, whore was a definition of someone who, a woman who lent herself out for money. No matter what, she lent herself out for money. And so they called this woman Mary because she didn't adhere to their laws. She had her own family tribal laws, and her family tribal laws, the girls could have jobs. They could do many jobs. Well, this tribe over here who got the permission of the world to get a world of definitions are saying women aren't supposed to do that in their culture. Well, that's y'all culture. You can sit there and let this man work his fucking ass to death with stupid ass and fall the hell out when his woman is sitting right there just as capable of the same work, if not stronger, and she won't even bring him a cooling shade or a libation to cool his body. She'll just sit there and let him work himself. He got to be crazy. But that's the structure that they want, where the woman stays in and the man go out and do that. And if you don't do it like that, you ain't right. That's the structure that we are adhering to right now. Because right now we be saying it all the time. If a man don't go out and do this and take care of the whole house by himself and the wife sitting at home taking care of the finances and the kids, then that's not a family. What the fuck? No. That's their new definition. This household with one mama, one daddy, one boy, and one daughter, picket fence, that's their bullshit. We ain't never had that. We've had multiple everything. We used multiple because when you have more than one, what are you? You're greater. Kingdoms with this. We had honors in this. We didn't just use sex as a tactic for pleasure. We used it as a business tactic to bind things together. See, we got to go
right,
back and restore it to the education. Marriage was not what they playing with, calling it right now. And what we're saying, if we don't do that right now, we ain't right. Man, look, that definition of marriage is wrong. Marriage is the merging of two things. I can marry one tribe to another tribe. And we come one tribe because you got my back, I got your back. Now I got two eyes instead of my one. Ain't that smart? Yeah, that's smart. We've been doing things smart. But they've taken it, and as Brother Mama said, they've taken the power definition from us, redefined our stuff, and told us to do the opposite. Told us, no, be by yourself. Let that one wife, let that one woman work her ass to death, cooking, cleaning, taking care of you, taking care of the family, and living her own life. She got her own existence. What she want to be. You ever heard a woman come up and say, yeah, I'm a ballerina, I'm a doctor, I'm a nurse, I'm a preacher's wife, mother of the PTA, what the fuck, how you doing all that? Woman, if you do all that, your body's going to fall the fuck out. Who told you that was your job to do all those things? This land? This land told you if you didn't have an apron on your shit, you wasn't shit.
This land even told you that if you as a woman were not the supreme or the sole nurturer of your child, you wasn't even deserving of being a woman. But you got the animals that God made like you. You got the males that protect the children and nurture the children in those environments. It's a hell of a lot of them. You got right now in these physical human bodies, many men taking care of their children just as well as the women. Like you have a lot of women in this society killing their babies. No reason. They ain't mad at the daddy, just some of them have that in them. It's basically saying that the definitions and the roles that they gave us are theirs and not ours. Because when we look at them, doing it that way, how we've been doing it, has caused us a lot of problems. So we must reevaluate it. Are we going to continue to go with their ways? Or are we going to say and do it our way? Is it like the brother was saying in the clip? They say one thing, but then you come here and you're doing something else. You know, in a way, if I'm screaming and asking for the rights of this country to be given to me, in a way, I'm conforming to this fucking country because I'm accepting the rights and wanting them to institute it for me. So complete destruction of this country would not even be respecting their rules and their rights. So you have, as Malcolm said, you got a bunch of brothers and sisters who done went to wars, who done sat here and they done learned weapons, who know how to do all type of hacks and missions and have done it on the gang level and all that, but yet you got a person can sit here in a uniform and kill an innocent brother and sister and keep walking and living, and they are not targeted. You killed out Charlie in the war. You went on the best missions. You knew how to sneak down and get motherfuckers, snipe them and all that. Where the hell are all them at? Not one victim, Trayvon Martin, not one of the people that have killed any of us have gotten sniped, have gotten hit from a perch. Nobody knows who they is. But this whole country, we all have that shit. See, that's the thing. We got to live the life that will make us right. So when you see in the home, when that father, as Martin did, when he does what a human does, And man, I done heard some of the tapes too. You know, they vulgar. But when you do what a human does, then your mate is to do what a human does too. And she did it. She forgave him. Or she got by it and didn't allow that to mess up the whole of the world. But what they wanted to happen, she didn't allow it. She didn't allow it so much that even right now, a lot of us don't even know that. Think about it.
Black
we don't
power.
Even know that.
Yeah.
But it's
Black
what
power.
We have
I got something
to
I want to I want to add to the discussion. Mm-hmm. I got something I want to add to this discussion, Brother Emmanuel, and everybody that's listening. I'm coming straight from the new Black Panther Party manual, and I was getting through here. We heard the definition, as Dr. Collins said, revolution. He said revolution is complete and constructive change. We heard the different context of from Kwame Ture. We also heard from Malcolm about what revolution is based on and what it looks like. But in tonight's topic, the roles, defining the roles. And in defining the roles of a revolutionary, it automatically lines up with principles. If we're going to be a revolutionary, then we are going to be in a position of leadership and taking on tasks. And I want to, this particular section talks about the skills of a leader. And I want to just quickly run through this section and see if we can, you know, and we're going to draw the parallel on how these particular skill sets are clearly part of the roles of being a revolutionary. It says, and what we'll do is when I say leadership or leader, I want you to parallel that in your mind to a revolutionary. All right. It says leadership is not just an idea, but action and implementation. Again, being a revolutionary is just not an idea of being a revolutionary. It will require action and to implement these actions, right? It also goes on to say, and this is, goes into what some of the roles of a revolutionary. A task must be drawn up with plans, backup plans, and escape plans. If you're a revolutionary, you have actions that need to be implemented, then quite obviously, you're going to need to put plans in place. And those plans will be followed up with backup plans and escape plans, because anything could go happen, correct? And then I'm going to run through this, and I'm going to pass the mic back, but I want us to, really just ponder on these things. This is something that we teach in our political education on a regular. It says the goals of a leader will only be reached through direct commission of duties and access to resources needed to perform these tasks. So you came up with a plan. The plan got to be implemented. So a plan will break down into having goals, right? And when you have these goals, they're going to have duties that come with them. And then you're going to have to come up with the resources to do it. So one of the roles of a revolutionary is not only to come up with a plan, be ready to implement that plan, but be able to come up with the resources and to follow through to make this plan happen. And then it goes on to say that the empowerment of those in command is to first be realized by themselves. You have to understand that these things that you are planning and finding the resources to carry out, you must believe in it within it of your own self to be successful. Or otherwise, you will find yourself talking yourself out of it or finding excuses or self-sabotaging. And not only should you be realizing it, you must also become a leader when action or self-design becomes useful to a cause. A revolutionary is a leader. We're living in a society that the majority of the time we our points of references come from people who have been reformists, who have been sent out or taught or pushed before us that were trying to fix this wicked system. But I'm talking about principles that must be put in place to destroy this system and build something new, because you're not just going to be destructive without having a replacing it with something righteous. You don't level a house. Say the house is on bricks. You don't just go in there and snatch all the bricks out. It's going to fall and crumble. But if you replace one brick, you level it off, you have a jack or something up under it, so you replace it and make sure it's level, and you go on to the next one. Or if you have some kind of destructive foundation or wicked foundation as we have here, you're going to have to uplift everything on top of it and take the root of it. And what do you call it? What you got to do? How you get the concrete out the ground? You have to chisel it out and remove it and have somewhere to put the fucking, what they call it when you break something up, buddy man, help me out here. When you break something out, you got the remnants of it. What you going to do with those remnants?
Yeah, you got to remold it.
Yeah.
You
got to remold it.
Reconstruct them. Take those parts,
exactly.
Melt them down, crumble them up, crush them up, and restart. Reconstruct. Remold. That's all the stuff we got out here.
Right.
When they melt it down, that's all it is. It's remolding, remade.
And there's a couple of more. I'm on the road here. Now here go a hard one right here, buddy Mays. It's a hard one. It says leaders must be willing to make a mistake and see where the mistake may be profitable and willing to give an advantage in the next battle. What the hell does that mean? First of all, if you go and try and make a mistake, it's better to not try at all. But if you make a mistake, are you just going to just sit there and waddle in it? Oh, Lord, I made a mistake. What the fuck? I quit. No. How do you make a mistake profitable? How do you make a mistake profitable? If you're a revolutionary, a freedom fighter, a leader, well, first of all, you can't be in denial. You got to acknowledge it. And then you need to see where you went wrong. You got to fix that. That's the only way I can see. And then when you, and as you do that, if you see someone else doing it, or as you getting ready to say, hey, but man, you got, look, let me tell you something. I went down that road down there, and I got jammed up. It was 20 cops down there, every way I turned. And I ain't gonna lie, I was going 20 miles over the speed limit. They got me dead to the wrong. Or I'm just gonna be, I'm gonna try to hide it and be like, and let you go down that road and not warn you about them pigs and tell you the crew's on down that road. A leader, how many we're going to run through is 12 of them. I'm going to pass it on back. But these are things that we got to be honest about. Because some of these are principles, right? That a leader should listen to all and use only the, what the hell? Ain't no 90 seconds. Yeah. What the, oh, shit.
You know, that's like somebody working at a job for 20 years, 19 years, and right before the day of that 20, where they'll get all of their benefits and all that stuff, they get mad at their manager for how their manager talking, so they quit the job. You're going to throw away 20 years worth of work because of a personal moment. That's what we be doing in relationships of family, relationships of personal. We allow a momentary thing to throw away the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is the saving of ourselves, saving of each individual, the saving of your families. You can deal with all that stuff this world tell you is wrong, that man and that woman. We can get through all type of stuff, but we have to be willing to get through it, to know that when we say that in that speech in the church I was talking about, through good and through bad, through better or for worse, we're going to live by that because that's an oath to God. When you take an oath to God, you take an oath to yourself. So you'll go through the good and the bad with yourself. When you do that for each other, then you create a bigger harmony. And that's why Martin is loved today, because of Coretta's, because of her dealings with him and how she saw something greater. And we must see that greater. To be a revolutionary, we must change and we must back each other up. Mothers back up the fathers. Fathers back up the mothers. Children back up your parents. Parents back up your children. Aunties, uncles, cousins, friends, the whole structure. Back each other up jealously. Lift each other up and know that we are promoting something that the system don't want us to do. And so it's going to be hard. But if we got each other's backs, it makes it soft and it makes it accomplishable. And we will do what we were meant to do. And that is be the vanguard of each other. And that's how we do that. Get off these petty things, man. Get over them. Get over them. Keep moving. And we're going to be all right. But if you throw it away for that moment, I don't feel right. I don't like how you did. You hurt my feelings. You're throwing away everybody else. And we are greater than you. You are not greater than the whole of the people. The whole, the majority of all of us are what the Creator made to live together. And when those want to do that, we are all lined up as one. But those that don't, you are the problem. So everybody that is the problem, solution yourself. Start fixing the nation, rebuilding, reconstructing what has been torn down, and get over our petty stuff. It's easy to say fuck somebody and say it's over. It's easy to walk away from anything. It is hard to stand in there and stand strong and go through it. I've been talked about by people that love me. Them the only ones that I'm going to allow to do that. Them the only ones that I will forgive doing that. Them the only ones I expect to do that. Many people say, oh, they ain't supposed to do that. The hell they ain't.
Only
family
love,
is supposed to be the ones that do that. Because them the only ones that know you. I don't give a fuck about what no strangers say about me. But I give a fuck about the person that knows my business. And that's the only person that can hurt my feelings. But that's the only person that I can forgive. That's the only person that I'm going to keep forgiving. Over and over and over and over and over. Others, they're the ones that don't forgive theirs. And they crush relationships. I ain't talked to my dad in 40 fucking years. 40 years? Really? That's no love. Our father is a father of compassion, and we are built in his in her image. She and him are compassion. They're love.
And we ought to be that for each other. How many times you forgive your brother? Seven times, seven times, seven. Keep it going. That's our way. They can't do that. Oh, no, they hold on to the smallest thing. You said something that hurt my feelings, Billy, when we were four. They ain't building nothing. They're tearing their own stuff down. We got to let them. It's not our wish that that happened, but it is my purpose to look out for my brothers and sisters in the situation I'm in right now and get them out of it. What we wasn't seeing before, we bring it to each other's attention, and we'll start seeing it now, and we'll start fixing these relationships. Stop walking away, y'all. What they said back in the day on them songs, it's cheaper to keep her. It's cheaper to keep her. It ain't no lie. Build. It's cheaper to keep him. Yeah, then went through all them memories. You got to have some bad memories in there, too, to talk about. Your grandma didn't tell everything good about grandpa. She said some bad stuff about it. But it was the reality of life. And grandma's still there. We're going to make it to the end together, man, no matter how it is. Either you're going to be my ex or you're going to be my current. But if you're there and I'm there, at the end, we're there still together. Why did we separate? We could have got that easy if we just stayed together. But we got to fight to do that. We could talk it. We all know it. But the doing, we do it for others. We forgive others. Soon as they tell us, oh, be like God, days is enough. We say, okay, I'll forgive you. I just let the Lord deal with you. But the person, your kinfolk that walked by you and messed up your shoe on accident, you don't forgive that shit. How can you say you're righteous or for the people? But I know you are righteous and you are for the people. We have been just been a people that have been completely redefined, and they have taken our definitions away from us, giving us theirs. As the Bible said, we have sojourned in a nation. Sojourn to a land of strangers, a strange land doing strange things. These are not our doings, and we must not continue, now that we know, to join in with them. It's going to be easier said than done, but the battle is won by doing actions. So do the work of it, them families. Go back, tell your baby daddy and your baby mama you love them. Tell your children you love them. Try as much as you can to salvage what you got right now, but build for the future, for them that's coming after us, a way to do it the right way, a way to not get caught up and have to salvage, but a way to construct from the beginning that which would be proper when they use it. And this is their life. We're using our life every day. We need to know the right way to use it so we can get the right thing out of it, because I'm tired of seeing my babies not like they're supposed to be. Again, that's why Jesus cried. Because when you love your brother or your sister and they ain't what they're supposed to be, it hurts you. But only a brother or sister can hurt you. Strangers don't. So you be my brother and my sister. I have the courage to apologize to you. I have the courage to come back to you. I ain't weak. You ain't weak. We both strong. Because we can keep it moving on. We can keep it going. Because that's what's going to happen in life, regardless if we want it to or not. Time's going to keep on moving. You can't tell the night, hold on, freeze, stop right now. In a few seconds, no. 9 o'clock going to come and go. 10 o'clock going to come and go. This night will come and go. And we'll be at the next when that time has come. Do what you can during your moment of existence. And know that will come and go also. So how will you remake yourself? Will you make yourself in truth, or will you make yourself in the foolish lies of this world, which have already come to an end right before your eyes? So really, in truth, you got no choice. You better start telling them the truth. You better start living the truth, because it's going to get around to everybody regardless if you want it to or not. Like, regardless to what he wanted for us, the world they wanted for us is not what the world is. Revolution, complete destructive change. Know your role in the revolution. Know your role as a revolutionary. Live that. Teach that.
Abide in that, because that's what you are. Black power and one love.
Hold on, brothers and sisters. Brother Emmanuel didn't drop the mic. He didn't fuck. He can fucking fired it up. He can got it so high and dropped it. Don't go nowhere. We still on the air. We're going to give a open up. I think we got our brother out of Atlanta. Brother Abdul, your mic is open. Black power.
Black power, queen. Yeah, I want to touch up. Yeah, you learn from your mistakes and become wise. Living in this country over 400 years, you know, I know we done learned something. Black power.
Black power.
Black power. Hey, brother Abdul, he not going to speak long, but he definitely going to speak strong. Y'all better ask somebody. What you say, Brother Manuel?
I said the same thing. He don't speak long, but he speaks strong. That's all that was needed. Black power, brother.
Black power. Oh, yeah, y'all already know. Y'all already know. Y'all better take a guess. We got our brother. Before the show starts, he's going to be the first one press number one. I love it. Black power, brother. Your mic is hot.
Black power. Alhamdulillah. May the peace of the Creator be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Please, brother, y'all.
You kind of low.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Yahya.
Much better. Wa alaikum salam.
Much better.
Wa alaikum salam. Peace,
yes.
Brother Yahya.
Alhamdulillah. May I try to share something? I'll try to be brief.
Brother Yahya, you trying to be brief is like water trying to be dry. Just go for it, brother. Go for it. Black power.
Yeah, ask permission. Well, I'm gonna be brief because I'm not that knowledgeable in what I'm trying to unfold from the mystery. And Guahan, alhamdulillah, weaving with fibers is taught to the youth as unfolding from the mystery. And I wanted to share that it's hard for me to pronounce Honorable El Hajj Malik El Shabazz Malcolm X, may peace be upon him name. Honorable Malcolm X, may peace be upon him. Stated and was trying to teach the people how two systems can't occupy the same space at the same time, and used before saying that two systems can't occupy the same space at the same time, Honorable Malcolm X, may peace be upon him, mentioned that, for example, two buildings can't occupy the same space at the same time. And it got me thinking about what we've been discussing and the role that the judicial systems play. And for example, we've been discussing the militarization of family court in Albuquerque. And one thing that I realized recently, but that the multiple roles that one building can play and actually can was addressed by Honorable El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, may peace be upon him, when I was trying to look at it if I can find it. That 22 million victims are waking up and their eyes are coming open. They're beginning to see what they used to only look at. They're becoming politically mature. They're realizing that there are new political trends from coast to coast, etc. But what Honorable Malcolm X, I feel, was saying there was talking about the so-called sham that they revolution first in right now in 2021, we have to look at how these buildings play multiple roles and occupy the same space. And I'm not being disrespectful to our elders, because that was exactly what Honorable Malcolm X taught us as from the same speech that I was looking at and listening on the radio that was just played, and how that relationship to policing and how the multiple dimensions that are presented and exist in the same building at the same time. And for example, here in Albuquerque, if you can analyze it, in almost every state, and in, there is an Indian School Road and a Carlisle Road. The Carlisle Group was the group that made trillions of dollars by creating the so-called Indian schools and forcing the separation of the children from our Aboriginal peoples and separating the boys and the girls, so-called, and placing them in these schools. And is Alhamdulillah, I just wanted to point out that anyone can teach you something that you don't know. Anyone can come and teach you and Google something and teach you things that you don't know. But it is only the love of the Creator that can put our family around us in community and community leaders and African leaders that can teach us things that we didn't know that we know. And I wanted to share about that. And when I was thinking about what it means to occupy the same space at the same time, I was trying to find a quantum definition for it in quantum physics. And I found the National Institute of Standards and Technology, U.S. Department of Commerce website. And in their menu dropdown, they have an introduction, a new quantum revolution. Number one, quantum supremacy, the strange world of quantum physics. And IST jumpstarts quantum information, quantum logic gates, the race to build a quantum computer, cryptography in the quantum age, quantum information applications without computers, quantum information applications without computers, the second quantum revolution. And you look at
Black Power, Black Power.
And I just wanted to share that.
Excuse me, but I must and I will, I have to. It was the quote, the statement actually came from Kwame Ture, and it wasn't Malcolm X. And on principle,
thank you.
He said, he's talking about the foundation of white supremacy, this government. You can't think that you're going to reform this government. He was speaking about reform versus revolution. See, this whole government system, its foundation, be it the courts, be it the Capitol, be it the White House, is based on so-called white supremacy. It's based on genocide and bloodshed, and it operates on that. You may, from time to time, get an inkling of so-called justice in the court system, but at its base, at its root, it is unjust. If we're talking about, we're not talking about quantum physics, we just deal with regular physics, because he's talking about a principle. If you and I are standing in the same room, yes, it is the same room, but you cannot stand in the same exact square foot location that I'm standing on, unless you're standing on my shoulders, but you're still not standing in the same exact location. You're standing on my shoulders, but my feet are the one on the ground. There are those who want to reform this government. There are those who have tried and tried and tried and tried since 1865. In 1865, there were black people, black men, who were voted after 1865. You know, there were all black men and black towns, black men in government offices. And you know what happened? They were taken up out of those seats. That's where the Ku Klux Klan came from. They were snatched out of those seats and replaced by rednecks. Those seats were not to be occupied by a nigger, according to these rednecks. They were removed physically. It is a principle when you have a system that is corrupt to the core, to think you're going to go in there and force this corrupt system to do right. It's taking us in circles. It's taking us in circles. It's taking us in circles with no result to prevail. We are 60, 50 years from the civil rights movement, reformists, integrationalists. That was just at the same time, there were those who were revolutionary and said, no, it's no fixing this. It's no integrating a few into it, getting rid of what we have, but keeping the same with your system. And here the results are to today. We had our own banks and hospitals and all of that and townships, and they were destroyed, burnt down, blown up, and replaced with, once again, so-called systems and institutions and businesses and structures of white supremacy. The cracker knows this very, very well and exercises it. You cannot vote your way into equality in this system. First and foremost, we are outnumbered. It's already fixed. The fix is in. I'm just going to give a round number. Say you got 200 elected officials. You're going to have 20 that are not white. So you can play that game from here until 50 years ago. You are outnumbered. We are outnumbered. So to think anything of any substance will come out of this electoral system is not only a lie, false as Santa Claus, it is treachery to keep pushing this bullshit to our people. The school systems are rooted at the core, founded and operated on so-called white supremacy. You may try to get them to slide in multiculturalism, but unless you replace that educational system, replace it with African-centered curriculum, it would be the same result. You'll have the symbol with no substance. You will have, what we have, what we're dealing with now. So this is, and this, these are principles. Now, we do know, and as you are addressing in this physical sphere, you know, I'm not a quantum physicist, but I'm thinking what quantum physics is, and what you're saying is there are other realms in this same realm that are coexisting. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying, Brother Yaya? Other realms. Okay, that is in fact true. We know this, and I believe this.
Yes, sir. First of all, thank you for correcting me earlier. What I was trying to connect was the book that you just introduced by Brother Kwame, The Handbook of Revolutionary Warfare, A Guide to the Armed Face of the African Revolution. And I just was inspired by that and inspired by the information that I'm still learning, as I was always honest about my ignorance. And I wanted to address on how, although we may have, let's say, looking at the judicial system, and I'm not a quantum physicist myself either, but why do we find ourselves having to embrace such ideologies when we're simply trying to reunite our families and do what's right for them. Well, I reunite myself with my children in a just and truthful way that is fair. And that in itself, even though from here I can prepare all my exhibits and pick an attorney, what I have found is that there's our colloquial practices where people will always render to the pressures of the overload of work and then use quantum physics. These attorneys have private investigators and social media investigators and can learn about your case even before the discovery process, and behind closed doors, agreements are made. And this new the guide to the armed face of the African Revolution and what that means, if a building can take multiple roles and can adopt multiple systems in the same space at the same time, but the so-called protesters and the people in arms, which is the first page, is what is, and it's beautiful. The people in arms outside can only occupy the physical location of the space, and I was trying to talk about its relationship to genocide. If you will notice that the courts are always near Indian School in Carlisle, and I wanted to share of how important and beautiful it is that there's a lot of brothers and sisters that have gone as far as having high training with their weapons, and they're so close. Some people have level 3 and can carry with permits their weapons. They're so close to getting one more permit, and that is learning how to handle evidence and process and getting your private investigator's license so that legally we can begin in this armed face, begin to learn about what it means to be able to adopt the same tools that these corrupt systems, that's such an antiquated word for what something that they're doing that is so advanced. If they're adopting quantum physics ideology and ideas, even without computers, and to create the social environments necessary to keep white supremacy and its genocidal effects, and we're seeing it right now. So I wanted to share that, Honorable Crystal Muhammad, and ask you what that means.
Well, let me say, you know, just to cut to the chase, a building will have multiple rooms, just as the Kwame Ture said, and that building will have different parts of it. But we're talking about the foundation of that building, what that building is standing upon, what that building represents. You can have multiple rooms, like you said, you can, and that was a brief clip. He said you can replace the windows, you can replace the doors. In that building, you could have 30 judges, and two of those judges could try to do justice, but the system itself is rooted, it's founded, and you know, if we try, and of course in systems of guerrilla warfare, we utilize the resources that we have at our disposal, be it and also is to force them to do what they so-called say they are supposed to do, expose the contradiction. You know, we go out with weaponry. It's not for symbolism. It is literally for self-defense, because black people have been drugged off of demonstration lines. They have been hosed. They have been shot at and literally murdered. It is for self-defense. And let's talk about how this cracker got in power. They did not level no petition. They did not exercise genocide on the people of Guam or Alabama or Louisiana by no legislation. They physically went and slaughtered the people and took the land and did it in such a heinous manner and said, I dare you to come stop me.
And there has been fights and fights and fights and fights. Every courthouse has a judge with two bailiffs and two guns. This is the law of this land. Ogun, the gun. And they have this system, this government, have police rolling through the lands, the territories of the African indigenous people in a hostile, enemy combatant manner. They snatch our people off the street to take them into the prisons to be slaves. He says you can't be a slave and an indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 13th Amendment. It's rude. I'm talking about the foundation. Now, of course, any chance we can, we call them out. We file whatever needs to be filed. You know what I'm saying? We may get a few steps forward, a few victims here and there, but as a whole, unless this wicked system is replaced, uprooted, destroyed, it'll be more and more the same. Is the principle. Global so-called white supremacy cannot be fixed. It cannot be tweaked. You can't spray perfume on a pile of shit. It is bloody.
Wow.
It is so bloody. Black power. But thank you, Brother Yaya. We understand what you're saying. We understand. But I just want to, you know, Just build out a little bit more. Yes, sir.
Honorable Khrushchev Mohammed, if you had everything that happened in the genocide, everything documented, and you could forensically, with love and care and so-called in all good faith, be able to present the truth, undeniable truth, of what really happened to our peoples, to speaking globally and speaking locally to all the way down to our families. And even though you have all that proof and you knew that you could get an attorney and file, I need to file and make contact with the children. I was simply shot in the head and survived and needed to recover. So now that I'm in that process, I am looking at all the mechanisms and ways that they're going to try to silence me and erase all of that. And I feel that it would do more justice and it would do more of an impact if I just see myself as a grain of sand. And like I said, hand over my right as a Chamorro from a colony of the United States of America and allow the new Black Panther Party to just make me part of it and to go to the United Nations and pretty much point back.
We can definitely do whatever we need, but you don't have to hand over one right, not now, our older. We have to do this together, brother. But you know, in Darfur, I believe it was in Darfur in 2010. In 2010, there was a delegation that went to present operation at the United Nations delegations claiming following the historical documents of 400 years of ethnic cleansing and genocide. And you know what the United States did? They walked out. You know what I'm saying? Do we stop fighting for it? No. Do we stop passing it from generation to generation? No. But what you're saying makes a lot of sense. We need to work as a collective. We need to pull together all these pieces. You do not relinquish one right. You do not stop fighting. Don't get me wrong. Revolutionaries will use the systems in place to fight and force them to do what they need to do, expose the contradictions, even if you get one victory out of 1,000. It's worth it because the people do need victory. So never give up. Black power. And I'm sorry, I believe our brother Emmanuel, it sounds like Brother Emmanuel wanted to get in on that. Go ahead, Brother Emmanuel.
Black power. I'm just agreeing with the comrades and y'all rhetoric right now. It's just so magnificent. You know, we just wanted to be mindful of the time. We just want to be mindful of the time in case they do cut us off. General, go ahead and give everybody that info where they can reach us at. And I hope to see everybody tomorrow night back at the same black station in the same black time.
Alhamdulillah.
Man, appreciate the black up because we do got more business to handle in a few minutes. That's right. www.nbpp.org. www.newasandblack. B as in Panther, P as in, no, damn, that's not how you spell Panther. New as in black, N as in new, B as in black, P as in Panther, P as in party, NBPP.org, yo, NBPP.org. Go to that link to join, to contribute, or to send a question to follow up on something that was discussed on tonight or any other nice discussion. Brother Greg, any closing words? We're going to wrap this
black,
up after
black
that.
Power. Black power. Anybody else on there? Hit that number one real fast. But another great show. Another fantastic show. Fantastic topic. Something you mentioned just a couple of minutes ago. You can't spray perfume on a pile of shit. And white supremacy, you can't compromise and water it down. Well, it's the same damn thing when we have black politicians in office. These are just black faces in a white supremacist system in society. True fact. Difficult to make changes,
yep.
Difficult to get things done, but it's just a black face that's in a white supremacist racist system and society. I don't see why people don't get that point. Well, that point amongst many other ones. Any other calls? Hit that number one. Black power.
Right on, black power. And, you know, again, as revolutionaries and in the art of revolutionary, we do exercise guerrilla warfare. And even in our points of program, it says if you're going to participate politically, have your own agenda and put people in place to push your agenda. But our ultimate goal is to, and because there are things that need to be done right now while we're waiting to make sure that when the time comes that this system falls to replace it, we are forcing battle after battle. See, it's battle after battle, forward movement, no surrender, no retreat. You might get a victory here, a victory there. We don't stop. We don't stop. We don't stop. We don't stop forcing their hand in the political realm, the religious realm, the educational realm, the economic realm, the quantum physics realm. We don't stop. Nothing. We didn't get in this condition overnight. This battle has been going on for centuries now. I would kind of want to time it to, when did the Moors fall in 700 A.D.? We were ruling all the way up until this point.
Oh, yeah.
We were ruling all the way up until that point, the whole planet. We were the majority in rule. But why? No company, you know, people thought that was their fault. They thought they could reform the devil. They thought they could reform the caveman. When it was clearly an island, an area that they were exiled to, the murderers.
See, General, we need to
they
have...
They were sent there for a reason.
I'm sorry.
Huh?
We need to have... I'm sorry,
this
General.
We
need to have... We need to have a message on Yaku. Let everybody come
yeah.
on, you know, tomorrow night. That's what we're going to talk about. Yaku, the mad scientist. So you can understand the engineer and the science behind this white man. Oh, that's going to be magnificent. If they want to find out one person's views, you know, tune in tomorrow night. And we're going to lay some facts out, and we're going to lay it out how they gave it to us, the story of Yaqub and the building of this. This is what you was talking about, how they exiled them and sent them away and put them here and that. Let them hear the details about it tomorrow night. But that is the story, as the general is saying. That is the story of Yaqub. You can look it up tonight so y'all will have some homework and be ready for tomorrow night. But that's what we're going to talk about, the grafting of this person. The engineering of this person. And if after you hear this, if you still not convinced through facts, and that's on you. And it's up to you, you know, to defend your own family. But we're going to defend ours. Black power, General.
Black power. Black power. We're going to sign off. I'm going to play a clip and let it ride out. I'm going to play a clip and let it ride out. Let me see. Let me see. I'm going to play a clip and let it ride out. That way, I played a short clip. I'm going to play this clip and let it ride out. Hold on, wait a minute. Let me see if I can balance it out. Let me get some, so we can talk about this system. Let's get the queen on. I play the brothers and brothers and brothers and brothers. Let me play Dr. Francis Quest Wilson. And you guys are more than, I spelled it wrong. I just been stumbling and fumbling. And I am sober as a gopher. let me go ahead and
Why are you listening, sis? Any other callers out there?
Oh no, Greg. If they tried to get in, they can't after the 9 o'clock mark. Only those that were already in can get in, and those who are on. Yeah, it's all good. I know you'd be ready for them. It's all good. If people come on, we got to give it up to the fact that a lot of people, they come here to listen and to learn. You know what I'm saying? So those who do participate, we do appreciate that. It's an edutainment. Black power. Well, is the baby asleep? We're going to have our founders out by playing this Francis Quest. I'm going to let this clip play. There we go. I need to get there. Black power. I need to record that. That need to be my alarm clock, my ringtone. Black power. She's got an energy, man. Beautiful spirit. That's what we're doing it for. The children.
Every time I hit the number, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, and she, her ears just shoot up.
She on beat.
That's all like Queen. On beat is an understatement to this little one.
Yeah, she'll be hosting the show before we know it. Right on. Let me play this Francis Quest Wilson. Y'all are welcome to listen until it cuts off. We're going to play it. A few of us have to jump off and get on the call in about 20 minutes, some business to take care of. And otherwise, we just going to go ahead and ride this out. We love y'all. Black power.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Dr. Wesley?
Yes.
Okay. We are live on DeKalb's radio show. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Again, Dr. Francis Quest Wilson, third generation physician, scholar, and victim of white supremacy. How are you doing this morning?
I'm fine, thank you. What about yourself?
I'm doing well. It's a little rainy here in Seattle, but that tends to be the case. I wanted to, really quick before we started the show, I've heard you do your prayer that you wrote. Is there any way you could do that for us to kick off the show?
I don't have it in front of me.
Oh, okay. I thought you had it memorized. It's all good. Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., I've been told he's, you know, had a pretty big impact on your work and you getting your book together. Is there any way you could just share with the audience how Neely Fuller has impacted your work? And if you could share information on how they could get his book, that would be good as well, please.
Well, Mr. Fuller is a native of Muskogee, Oklahoma, and he had been writing about racism, white supremacy as a system. He had been writing about it, I guess, since the mid-1950s. I met him in the late 1960s, And I was looking for answers about racism as a psychiatrist. And I happened to meet him, and he had been writing, as I said, since the 1950s about racism, white supremacy as a total system. So when I heard him talk about his ideas, I said, this is profoundly important. And that's how I started writing about racism from the standpoint of it being a total system to maintain racism, white supremacy, or a total system for white power, maintaining the equation of white power over non-white powerlessness. Mm-hmm. And so I encourage everyone to read his work, get his book, and read his work. I consider him to be one of the most important thinkers, black or white, in the 21st century.
Wow. And do you know information on how anyone can get his book if they're listening in and they're not familiar with his material?
Well, they can call him at area code 202-484-5461 and arrange to get a copy of his book. The short title is Textbook for Victims of Racism, White Supremacy.
Groovy. White supremacy as a global system. I want to give out the definition really quick. The definition that I use when discussing white supremacy, a global system of people dedicated to, a global system of people who classify themselves as white and are dedicated to mistreating and or subjugating everyone that they say is not white. My definition for the system of white supremacy. Is that, are you agreeable with that definition?
No. I mean, that's, you know, in other words, you certainly have a right to have a definition. I say that it is a local, national, global system, behavioral system of thought, speech, action, and emotional response, consciously and or subconsciously determined, practiced by people who classify themselves as white in all areas of people activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex and war, for the ultimate purpose of maintaining white genetic survival and preventing white genetic annihilation on planet Earth, a planet upon which the overwhelming majority of people are classified as non-white by the minority of people who classify themselves as white. And the people who are classified as non-white are genetically dominant in terms of skin coloration compared to the genetic recessive white-skinned people.
Okay. Much
and
more
I'm
complicated.
Basically saying that the planet Earth has an overwhelming majority of non-white people.
Mm-hmm.
And non-white people are genetically dominant. By that I mean Barack Obama as an example, because his mother is white and his father was a black man. And black, or the ability to produce melanin skin pigmentation, is a genetically dominant trait. So you never mix a non-white person plus a white person and get another white person. You always get a person of color because of the genetic dominance of being able to produce melanin skin pigmentation. So the fear of white genetic annihilation is related to the demographic conditions that exist on planet Earth. And I didn't invent genetics. And the dominance of the ability to produce melanin pigmentation is not something I created. It's something that happens to exist on the planet. And this is what racism is all about. It's preventing white genetic annihilation on planet Earth.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. Much more thorough explanation. Thank you very much for sharing that with the audience. So in the global system of white supremacy, which is about maintaining the group that classifies themselves as white to make sure that they are not annihilated genetically by darker skinned people, how do you feel the non-white people on the planet, how should they be, how should they behave in relationship to white people as long as the system of white supremacy exists?
Well, first and foremost, and I will speak for black people, I could speak for all non-white people who have been victims of racism, white supremacy,
mm-hmm.
that the confusion on the part of people who are classified by white people as non-white, the most important thing is that they have not understood why they have been treated in the way that they have been treated. They haven't understood why. They have complained about the treatment, but at the same time not understanding in depth why it is. Like we as black people, we have gone through formal enslavement, the black people in this area of the world. And we wondered why were we being mistreated as we were. And after so-called emancipation, there was a continuation of the mistreatment. And it's just like after the civil rights movement, black people have wondered, well, why does the mistreatment continue? And so at one point we thought, well, it's just a matter of having the chains removed. But after the chains were removed, then we encountered a system of legal strictures that were in effect doing the same thing that the chains were doing. And after the laws were changed, we were still encountering the issue. Well, you won't understand, you know, you'll just be in a state of continuous puzzlement until you begin to understand my definition of racism, white supremacy, that it is all about white genetic survival on planet Earth. You see, so the understanding of why people behave as they do is the most important thing in the world, particularly if you are a victim of that behavior. Because once you understand, oh, people who classify themselves as white are engaging in practices and establishing patterns of perception, logic, thought, speech, action, and emotional response in all areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war, for the purpose of white genetic survival, then you don't go along, you know, begging and hoping that people who classify themselves as white will change their behavior. You see, once you set up a system of behavior for your survival, it's not logical to anticipate that the persons are going to change survival strategy. And so you have to organize your behavior in such a way that the behavior Your behavior neutralizes the behaviors of injustice. And I maintain that that can happen. It's not about hating white people.
Yes, ma'am.
But it's about understanding why they feel the necessity to do what they do, even when they are denying that that's their intention. And that's the importance of saying the behavior is organized consciously and or subconsciously.
Wow.
So the first and foremost, to understand exactly what is happening on planet Earth. Neely Fuller has written that if you do not understand white supremacy, racism, what it is and how it works, everything that you think you understand will only confuse you. So this is the most important challenge that black people, and black people are the most important victims of racism, white supremacy, because they have the greatest genetic potential to produce the black pigment melanin. And so therefore they are the persons most feared. And see, once you understand this, then you understand the proclivity on the part of people who classify themselves as white to portray black people or black men as gorillas, as chimpanzees, as we've just seen happen in terms of the cartoon in the New York Post portraying President Barack Obama as a chimpanzee. Well, this is not the first time. This is what the series of films on King Kong, that's what those films were all about, using images to demean and to degrade black people and black men in particular in relationship to white females. Because even the instance of the cartoon, that cartoon came from something that had happened in real life in the state of Connecticut, where a white female had a chimpanzee pet, an animal with black fur that weighed 175 to 200 pounds. And she was treating this chimpanzee as a mate. She ate with the chimpanzee. She bathed with the chimpanzee. She slept with the chimpanzee.
Wow.
And the chimpanzee, you know, being the animal, something disturbed him such that he attacked her friend. And the chimpanzee was later killed by white police officers. You see, so the underlying elements are exactly the same thing as the elements in the King Kong series in film, where the representative, the symbolic representation of the black man is ultimately killed with guns by white men because of involvement with a white female.
Wow. Wow. Which is right along with your analysis of white genetic annihilation.
Exactly. You see, which is, you know, we've just come through what is called Black History Month, and a significant part of that history is black men being lynched and castrated because supposedly the black man looked at a white female or thought he wanted to think about looking at a white female. That was always the underlying accusation. Or a white female said a black man did something to her. And the lynching and the castration was killing a black man and then attacking his genitalia. because within the testicles is the genetic material that can cause white genetic annihilation. So racism, white supremacy, instead of people treating it as, and this is where the government, having called crimes of racism, white supremacy, hate crimes, I say was a deliberate move to not focus on, it's just as easy to say a crime of racism, white supremacy. You see, because hate is an emotion. It doesn't mean anything.
Mm.
You see, but it's sort of guiding people away from really understanding what is going on by labeling it a hate crime instead of saying, well, these are crimes of racism, white supremacy. See, even sexism, if you will, within the framework of the system of racism, is the white within the white population itself making certain that control is maintained over the white female, because white females say that their ideal mate is tall, dark, and handsome. See, even though people say things like that, and they don't really understand, well, how did that become an expression? Do you see, that's tied directly to white people wanting to suntan, because they look at their skin in comparison to black people, people of color, and they say they look pale or they look sick. And so let me hurry up and get a tan, even though I get skin